Turn your Bibles, will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, the apostle writes to us, and we've been looking at this for a few handful of weeks, and we just want to review it. We need to get these things in our hearts and minds, okay? This is real stuff. This isn't pie in the sky, but it's real, the real stuff of living and walking with our Lord, that which the Lord has made and has given us as His children, to walk with Him. There's promises at hand, great and precious promises, verse number 4, the divine power of our Lord working here within us, the Spirit of God living within. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in verse number 4. And then we're given a command here, not a suggestion, but a command. May the Lord help us in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. Be busy about it. Be busy about it. Admittedly, I need to be more busy about it than I have been, okay? I don't stand before you as an example of having fulfilled this, but we need to be diligent. We get diligent about some things. May we be diligent about this. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and add to faith, to brotherly kindness, add charity, love with legs on it. Then we come over here to Galatians 5. These passages are connected. We talk about the interconnection of the Scriptures, how the Scriptures connect one with another, and these passages connect with one another. We see here the apostle writing about those works of the flesh, and then in verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit of God living within, is love. That same love that we're to add to our faith. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It goes on to say in verse number 25, if we live in the Spirit, speaking about salvation and life eternal, let us also walk in this life in the Spirit. And so we're given, we're instructed to add things to faith, to our faith, and then we want to consider this morning about the fruit of the Spirit, that is gentleness. Gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit, that is gentleness. This word gentleness is again one of those words that gets described by other words. Goodness is one of the first definitions of gentleness. To be good. Also to be kind. That's another word that describes gentleness. Moral goodness or integrity is something that is mentioned there, synonyms that are there. The definition for goodness is uprightness of heart and life. To be good, according to what the Lord defines, not to what the world defines. We're going to find as we go through the passages this morning that this word gentleness is described in this way. And it might surprise you. It's surprising to me how it is described and used as the translators translated the original Greek and brought it into English, different words, different synonyms that are at hand that describe it. We're not told in 2 Peter chapter 1 to add gentleness. We're not told to add gentleness. But again, we're told to add components that will, if we truly do add them, will render an exhibition of gentleness in our lives. If you look here, we're to add a virtue, okay, and that there's an element of that that speaks to valor and to be powerful in that which is right. Knowledge, if we take a look and learn about our Lord Jesus, we'll understand. We'll see this morning about how He was gentle and kind. Self-control. When we're not gentle, we're probably not too self-controlled, are we? And patience. Patience speaks to gentleness. You've got to be patient to be gentle. And then godliness, brotherly kindness certainly speaks to being gentle. And then, of course, charity, that is love. Remember that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8, what's said there, and go ahead and turn over there. Let's read this. Let's everybody, if you can read and you've got a Bible, If you don't have a Bible, get over by somebody that does have a Bible so you can read it for yourself. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8, for if these things that we add to faith be in you and abound, okay, they're great, they're many, they're expansive, these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have to learn about Christ to add these things. These things are going to be manifested in our life amongst others. And we're going to know about our Lord and know what our Lord would do as we walk. In regards to gentleness, take a look at Romans chapter 3. And again, this is something that is very interesting about this word. I hadn't known this before. In this way. In Romans chapter 3, we've gone through the book of Romans, are going through the book of Romans in our afternoon services. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 12, it speaks about man and what is written about man, namely in the Old Testament, a compilation of passages telling about man and his condition. Look at this. In verse number 12 of Romans 3, they, mankind, are all gone out of the way. They are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth gentleness. No, not one. That word good is the same word for gentleness that we're to exhibit in the fruit of the Spirit. And I find that very interesting. It's the exact same word. In all things, we're instructed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning in the message, we want to look at Jesus' example about what we're to add and what we are to exhibit. Jesus' example. In some messages, we've looked at what Jesus has said. In this message, we'll look at Jesus' example about what we're to add and what we are to exhibit. Jesus exhibited gentleness during his life on the earth. This morning, we're not going to take a look at every passage, but I'm going to just draw your memory back to it. And again, this is the reason it's important to know the accounts in the Scripture. If you don't know the account for yourself, it's hard to understand and make the connection about those things that are being spoken about. In Matthew chapter 14, and you can turn there if you like, it says there in verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. His brother Bobby read about the multitude this morning and the things that the Lord said to them, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. He was gentle, wasn't he? He was gentle. He was good towards them. He was kind towards them. Our Lord didn't have to do that, but many, many times it says that our Lord did these kind of things. In Matthew 15, in the next chapter, in verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion. I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. And you know what? If my memory serves me right, this is the group that's looking for the free lunch. And the Lord deals with them about that. We see that in John chapter 6. But he says, they've been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And so our Lord was compassionate towards them. He looked on at the multitude and he considered about their situation. You know, we need to do that. We need to look on. So it's so easy, and then we're bombarded with it in this life about take care of me. Take care of me. And we do have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of our families. But that's not the only thing, the only ones that we're to look and take care of. There are others. We are here in the Lord's church. We need to be considered about what's going on with one another. And, you know, the Lord said, they've been with me for 3 days. It's a long trip back. If they make that trip in the shape that they're in now, in 3 days, they've used up whatever that they've brought with them. You know, he was kind to them, wasn't he? He was gentle. He thought about the shoes that they were in and where they were at. These blind ones, in Matthew chapter 20, those that came to him and they were brought to him and they were blind. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. The Lord knew what it was to see. And he is the only one that can, having being able to see, could understand how it would be not to see. Okay, he can. The Lord is that great. We who can see, it's hard for us to understand how it would be to be blind. But the Lord had compassion on them too, and he healed them. He touched their eyes, and they were gained sight. And the Lord gave them sight. In Mark chapter 1, take a look over here. In Mark chapter 1, we see here at verse number 40, "And there came a leper to him," Mark 1:40, "beseeching him, begging him, and kneeling down to him, he worshipped the Lord, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." All you have to do is want to. If you wilt, if you want to, you can make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. He was gentle. He didn't run him off. He didn't scold him for coming to him. Listen, our Lord went into that realm of being defiled. It was forbidden for a leper to be touched. The one that would have to do with the leper would become unclean themselves if they went beyond the limits of the law. But Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." He's able to heal. Cannot heal leprosy. There's many diseases that plague the people of our land and the people of the world, and we don't have the wherewithal in and of ourselves to heal them as our Lord Jesus did, but there are things that we can do. There are ways that we can help. And when we have that before us, may our Lord help us that we would be gentle and kind in that way. The man in Mark chapter 5, the demoniac at Gadara, where our Lord left where he was at and went over to that place, and they landed. Isn't that something that the boat just happened to land there where that man was running around in the tombs? He was running around in the tombs there, naked, cutting himself. They tried to bind him, the people of that city. They couldn't hold him with fetters. They couldn't hold him with chains. I mean, he was wild. Wild there, screaming and crying out and everything. Our Lord went over there to visit that man. Boy, that's some kindness, isn't it? He went over there to visit that man, and the man came and running down. Of course, he's possessed by legion. And the Lord cast those demons out. Those demons give testimony to their submission to the Lord. He cast them out. They clothe him. He's sitting there at the feet of Jesus. He's in his right mind when the people of the city come. And, of course, the Lord deals with them. And then the Lord's going to leave. And the man says, "I want to go with you. I want to go with you. I want to go with you." In Mark chapter 5, verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." Our Lord was gentle. A smoking flax and a bruised reed he would not break. It was prophesied about him, and he was gentle and kind and compassionate indeed. That man goes home. He wants to go with his Lord, but he does go home, and he's a great witness to those people. And maybe even the Scriptures tells us about how many were saved when the Lord Jesus returned. In chapter 6 of Mark, verse number 34, another multitude here our Lord is dealing with. "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd." They're just meandering around and wandering around in life. And he began to teach them many things. You know, I find this through the Scriptures, this with the people, the Lord was very gentle and very kind. A friend of publicans and sinners, the Scripture says. But then with those that were with responsibility and claimed to be leaders and rulers there, he was stiffer with them, wasn't he? Nicodemus came to him by night, and that's kind of seemingly kind of like the middle ground. You know, there's the people, and the Lord teaches them. He feeds them. He's kind to them. He preaches to them and teaches them. But then Nicodemus is willing to come to the Lord, but yet he rebukes him in a sense because he's a ruler and a master in Israel and doesn't understand what the Lord's saying. The right spiritual response that Nicodemus should have given was, yeah, Lord, that's the way that it is. But he says, I just don't understand what you're talking about. And so the Lord shifted gears. Isn't it so that the Lord, rebuking him as a master and one that claimed to be a spiritual leader, a teacher of the people, Nicodemus was to be, the Lord shifts gears and then brings a very kind and gentle, truthful message about salvation. Isn't that something? How that changes. The Lord's kind to sinners. He's gentle. He tells. We're going to look about that here a little bit more. But I find that interesting how it is that way with the Lord in the Scriptures. A man in Mark chapter 9 comes to the Lord, and his son is a lunatic. The apostles, he's come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples are there. This man has brought his son into them, and they've tried to heal him. The man comes to him when he sees him and says they're not able to do it, and the Lord chides them about their lack of faith. He rebukes those that are near, those that are his children, those are his disciples, his apostle. He rebukes them. But he said, O faithless generation, in verse 19 of chapter 9, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. The Lord might speak that way to us, being his children, having had time to groan. How have we grown? How have we grown in faith in our Lord? Well, the Lord, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Faith in his word, faith in what he said, faith in what he's promised, faith in what he said that we should be doing. They brought him unto him, the child, verse 20, and he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, that boy, and he fell on the ground wallowed foaming, and he asked his father how long ago since this came unto him, and he said of a child. So he's an older boy. Oft times it cast him into the fire, into the waters, destroy him. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. He's dead. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Our Lord was compassionate to this man and to his son. In Luke chapter 7, it tells us about a funeral procession that's leaving out of the town, and this woman's son is being born on the stretcher there in Nain. She's a widow. This is her only son. She has lost her son. He has died. And then there's a great thing that's at hand that I think that's implied here in the Scriptures, is that she is on her way to be destitute, possibly. No husband, no son. Her situation has become possibly very dire. And as they're carrying the man to bury him, when the Lord saw her, Luke 7:13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And what's the Lord do? He raises that man from the dead, doesn't he? And delivers her, it says, unto his mother. Delivers him unto his mother. Jairus, you remember that, when the Lord comes back to Capernaum. And he's a ruler of the synagogue. His daughter is very sick. And he's desperate. You remember that, don't you? There in Luke 8. He's desperate, and he comes to the Lord Jesus. She's 12 years old, and as it turns out, we know that she dies. But yet our Lord raises her from the dead. How many 12-year-old girls you reckon died that year in Israel? Could have been many. Or children that died that year there in Israel. But our Lord was compassionate to this man. And this man had faith in the Lord. He believed that the Lord could heal, and the Lord went there and did so. And think about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We're just walking through the Gospels. Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. Wasn't our Lord gentle to her? You know, she's fretting. She wants to do good. She wants to be the good hostess. Mary's in there listening to what the Lord's got to say. And she says, Lord, tell Mary to come in here and help me. Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. Mary's chosen the better part, and it won't be taken away from her. Wasn't the Lord gentle in that? I mean, the Lord could have really rebuked her, and he did rebuke her, reprove her in that, but it wasn't in a vehement way, was it? He was gentle. He was gentle. You think about how when Lazarus died, and they sent word, and then when the Lord Jesus did come, some 4 days later, they said, oh, if you'd have just been here in time, you could have kept him from dying. We know that that's the case. And then the Lord dealt with them. He said, don't you believe that I'm the resurrection? Oh, yeah, well, I know that he's going to raise up at the last. Isn't he gentle? Isn't the Lord gentle and kind? The way he deals with his children, and even in rebuking us strongly, our Lord is kind because he, and gentle in the sense that without it, we wouldn't be known as children, would we? We're his children. And he does speak to us. Remember the woman at the well of Sychar in John chapter 4? She wanted to talk about everything under the sun, but the Lord just kept bringing her back to what needed to be talked about. Isn't that something? He didn't get frustrated with her. He just took the word of God and took the message of the truth and steered her back to her particular need. Our Lord is gentle. Is gentle, and we need to be gentle. Remember the woman that was taken in adultery? Let's take a look over there in John 8. How about that? I mean, she really was. Of course, there's things that are missing here, and these men that sought to have a case against the Lord and put him to the test and all that. You know, he wrote on the ground. I think he wrote out what it said in the law. The man's missing. They didn't want to bring their brother or daddy or uncle or cousin or whatever. Probably the whole thing was a setup to start with, is what I suppose. Oh, they nabbed her. But then they said she was taken in the very act. They nabbed her, but they let him go. And the Lord knew that. And listen here how the Lord dealt with her. And when Jesus, in verse number 10, had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those 9 accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And so our Lord is gentle. He's truthful. He's always truthful. The Lord's never going to be gentle at the expense of the truth. But he is gentle as he deals with us. There's another aspect. There's one more thing that I want to mention. Think about the care of the Lord for his church right before his death. And John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. The Lord, they're expecting something to happen, and everything that they think is going to happen, the Lord Jesus is kind of doing something opposite of that. They're expecting that the kingdom is going to be set up. Jesus is talking about his death. But then he's talking to them about his death and that he will live again. He's going to be taken from them for a time, but he'll be back. They expect that they're going to rise up and somehow Jesus is going to get this big insurrection against the Roman government. And he goes and washes their feet. what? And then they're observing the Passover, and they said, man, maybe this is really it. Like the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt, maybe he's going to deliver us from the Romans. And then he institutes the Lord's Supper to remember his death. Everything's just, but they expect one thing. Jesus is speaking to another, and he tells them all along through this, I'm telling you what I'm telling you, so that when things happen, like I tell you are going to happen, you won't be offended. And that you'll know that even though I'm dead, I'm still in control. Trust in me. Rest in me. He's gentle with his church, isn't he? There's another aspect of the Lord's gentleness and the call of his word. Another aspect, we have these different accounts that we've looked at, and this is intermingled through these, but I want to bring this out. There is an aspect of our Lord's gentleness in the call of his word. You know, the Lord didn't come in the day of his ministry and say, okay, you pack of sinners, listen up. Here's the gospel, and he tells what the gospel is. Now, who's going to repent and believe on my son as a salvation, and who isn't? Those that repent go to the right, those that do not go to the left. He zaps those on the left to hell, and those on the right, he takes them on to glory. Lord didn't do that, did he? But our Lord sends his word to speak to us in the time of our life, to challenge people, men, women, boys, and girls, about the truth, and to tell them the truth. We talk about being long-suffering, how the Lord's long-suffering. The Lord brings us the truth of our condition and our need and him and his salvation and eternal life and eternal damnation. Does he not bring that to us in the most gentle way that there is? I mean, he does. You know, we, as Baptists, we believe in the freedom of the mind. We don't grab people by the nape of the neck and say, you're going to be saved today or else. We don't do that. But we tell this word of the Lord, this seed, this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we leave it with them in the Lord. We pray for them. As the brother has described, we pray for our Lord to work. Has he not been gentle? But rather than saying in this scenario that I said, the Lord saying, okay, you pack of sinners, listen up. He deals with us in the time of our life. There are some of you, myself, others that hear the gospel and all a great portion hear the gospel and the truth of God's word for decades. And then the Lord saves them. And those that hear the gospel and the Lord saves them early in life. Aren't you glad that he gave we who were saved later in life and not as a child, that he was long-suffering and gentle in that way? He is, isn't he? But rather our Lord says this in Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship, the psalmist declares this, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The Lord has given, I mean, from where we live and where we're at here in life, the Lord has given time for his word to be heard and to be received. Not people that go around and arrest people into salvation. They go around and lock people up. You know, there are some groups that have worked in that way in days gone by and centuries and millennia gone by. The Lord doesn't work that way. He heralds out, his people herald out the truth and puts it there. In Isaiah 55, so apropos and descriptive of this, in Isaiah 55:10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, how gentle was this? And returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that I may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It'll be like rain, and it'll be like snow. It'll be like that mystery of things growing up from a dead seed. So shall My word will work the same way. We talk about that. Nothing better when it's been dry than a nice, gentle rain. A steady rain, right? And that's what the Lord is doing with His word. It's a light, gentle rain of His word. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. As the children of God, we can rejoice in this, can't we? We can rest in this. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Our Lord is gentle. He's gentle, long-suffering, and kind in every way. In the context of this consideration, in Romans chapter 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by conviction of the Holy Spirit. By the word of God being delivered by the Lord's messenger to the sinner, and the Lord taking that and work, it's not by shock therapy, right? It's not by torture. It's not by physical incarceration, although it's great to be apprehended by the Lord, isn't it? He's gentle. He's gentle in every way. The Lord came preaching, and I say it often and believe that it needs to be told over and over again. In Mark 1:15, our Lord Jesus came preaching, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Oh, the end of refusal of our Lord is terrible, and it will not be gentle. But the time before, the time of life before and the word of God coming forth, our Lord is gentle. He's gracious, isn't He? The operation and greatness of our Lord. 16 times in the New Testament, our Lord says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. 25 times in the Gospel of John, our Lord says, and it's recorded, verily, verily, I say unto you. He's gentle. He's truthful, but He is gentle indeed. Next, we want to take a look at the gentleness in that He came. In Titus chapter 3, I invite you to look over here at this if you've got your Bible. In Titus chapter 3, this is one of those times that might surprise you that this is what it is. But in Titus chapter 3, verse number 4, now, let's back up to verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, wanting to get back, hateful and hating one another. That's the way that we lived before we were saved. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. That word kindness there is that same word gentleness that we see over there in the fruit of the Spirit. Our Lord was gentle. The gentleness and love of God our Savior towards us appeared. We were caused to see it when we couldn't see it before. Our hearts were open to it when we couldn't receive it before. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, it goes on to say, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. As saved, we look back on that and we see what our Lord's done. How He's given us life. How He's brought the Word of God to us. How He's given us life into the time of salvation. And how He sent His Spirit and opened our eyes, and opened our ears, and opened our heart, and opened our understanding, gave us faith to believe. He's gentle in every way, isn't He? He's so gentle, so good to us in every way. The kindness, the gentleness, and love of God toward man appeared. He came and appeared bodily, didn't He? It was gentle for our Lord. It was kind for our Lord to become man. To come and be amongst us. It's many other things too. But he didn't save us from afar. He saves us, if you will, from amongst us. He's got a connection to us. He's a man, yet he's God. And he did so for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, the scripture says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Hear that? Was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus became a man for me. For you, if you're here and you're saved. And next, and thirdly, we want to take a look at his gentleness and that he included the Gentiles. We've been looking at Romans. And in Romans chapter 11, a few weeks ago, we considered this about this olive tree and the original branches, the natural branches being broken off because of unbelief. In Romans chapter 11, verse 22, we as Gentiles have been grafted in by faith in the Lord Jesus. And it says in Romans 11, 22, "Behold therefore the goodness," it's the same word as gentleness over in Galatians chapter 5. "Behold the gentleness of the Lord. Behold the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity," speaking of the Jews, "but toward thee, we Gentiles, goodness, gentleness, kindness. If thou continue in his gentleness," goodness is the word that's there, same word as in Galatians chapter 5, "otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." Don't be high-minded, but fear. And then fourthly, his gentleness will go on into eternity. Take a look over here in Ephesians chapter 2. We've got verses here, the hallmark verses that are wonderful, great verses that teach us great things. But here folded in this, I think maybe this verse could possibly kind of get lost in the shuffle. And so we want to see here that his gentleness towards us will go on into eternity. We're to be gentle. We're to be gentle. And our Lord is indeed gentle towards us. Look here in verse number 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, made us alive by grace, by the favor of the Lord ye are saved." Verse 6. "And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." What promises we have. "That in the ages to come," "he might show the exceeding riches of his grace," his favor, "in his kindness," in his gentleness. Same word as in Galatians chapter 5, gentleness, and describing the fruit of the Spirit. "In his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace," the riches of his favor, "in his kindness," in his gentleness, "toward us through Christ Jesus." Our Lord is gentle. And we are to manifest gentleness. We're to add to our faith the things that our Lord describes in his word, and we are to manifest gentleness. We are saved. Add to faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And we are saved, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. We're to exhibit and manifest gentleness. Gentleness like our Lord. In Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness." Gentleness. "Against such there is no law." We can't ever be too gentle. We can never out-gentle our Lord. I know that's bad grammar, but his gentleness that was extended and given and directed towards us can never be exceeded by ours. But we're to follow that example. The Lord's challenge to us to bear the fruit of gentleness. Colossians chapter 3. Take a look over here. And you're in Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? Take a look over here. Look at this. Here's another one that might surprise you. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, gentleness. Same word. Same word as in Galatians chapter 5. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercies, put that on. Put on gentleness, kindness. Put on humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Forgive, as the Lord has forgiven us. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6, the apostle writes, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Again, that word kindness there in 2 Corinthians 6:6 is that same word, gentleness, as we see in Galatians chapter 5. We've been given a challenge by our Lord to bear this fruit of gentleness. May we do so. Do you manifest gentleness, the gentleness fruit of the Spirit in your life? Do you do so? Has your gentleness fruit waxed cold? Do you have any gentleness fruit at all? In Psalm 1, again, we read about the child of God that doesn't walk after the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't sit in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but delights in what our Lord has said. It says in verse 3 of Psalm 1, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. How are you? How are we as the trees of the Lord? How is it with our fruit of gentleness? It says, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want to remind us again in Romans 8, 9. We've read this scripture every time. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if we're in the Spirit, we're to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We're to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you bear the fruit of the Spirit? Do you bear that fruit of gentleness? Oh, may we add to our faith. May we bear forth the fruit of the Spirit. To those that are here and not saved, we declare to you what Paul did in telling about his ministry in Acts chapter 20, testifying to all men, Jews and Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, as it says in Romans chapter 2, don't despise the goodness, same word. Don't despise the gentleness of the Lord. See, we say oftentimes that sometimes when we say this about maybe other tribes or other nations. We've said this about recent occurrences in the last 20 years of our lives, that we've seen that there's groups out there in the world, and we say this about them. The only thing that they understand is a strong arm. They only understand firepower. They only understand a strong defense and offense to destroy them. Okay, and I'm speaking generally because I don't want us to get off focus here. But we say that about some. We'll say that about individuals. All they understand is a punch in the nose. You know, that's because there are people that are just rebellious that way. They don't understand anything else. They don't understand anything but force because that's the way they live. That's the way they operate. Well, you know what? That's what sinners naturally, that's the way we are. We don't understand anything but force. But look how our Lord has come to us. He comes to mankind at this time in the most gentle, truthful way. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Jesus Christ. Don't despise. See, there are those that despise, it says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. See, the Lord is very gentle towards sinners in this day. But you know what? There's going to come a day of vengeance and a day of wrath. It's going to come to an end. The gentleness is going to come to a close. And the Lord, with great fury and great wrath, is going to deal with sinners that are unrepentant and without Christ. Don't despise the gentleness of the Lord, the goodness of our Lord, but flee the wrath to come. Flee unto Christ. In Luke chapter 15, and we'll close with this passage, Luke chapter 15, look here how the Lord speaks. And look at the Lord's gentleness. And look at the care of our Lord. In Luke chapter 15, verse number 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Hear that? Jesus was willing to engage the publicans and the sinners. They drew near and he didn't run them off. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So they're over there mumbling and grumbling, and the Lord knows what they're saying. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders and shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know, we sing a song about that. We sing about a song that puts the Lord in that case, in that description that he's given here. And consider the gentleness and the care. The Lord, in that sense, leaves the 99 for the sake of the one. He cares. He's kind. He's compassionate. He didn't put the rope around the sheep and drag it home. Amen? He put it on his shoulders. And he carried it home. Amen. Verse 8, neither what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. The Lord's going to find his own. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Our Lord's diligent too, isn't he? And in that diligence, he is gentle. Likewise, I say unto you, you publicans and sinners, you Pharisees and scribes, therefore I say unto you, all of us gathered here today, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The gentleness of our Lord.